This is ESPN Radio.
I got questions of why the T is the only one capitalized. But we'll get to it here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And while we certainly have plenty to focus on from the weekend coming up here in the NFL, we'll look ahead to that with Chris the Bear Felica joining us. We'll preview the NFL with Sean Merriman, former All-Pro linebacker around the NFL. And take a look at a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team up close and personal that's got some more off-the-field headlines creeping into the situation. But, Chris, we still got a game from last night that I'm trying to digest what we can actually take away from, because the New England Patriots did get a 25-0 win last night, and I'm not sure if anything stood out for me more than, man, I haven't seen a quarterback as frustrated getting beat up all the time like Matt Ryan since our colleague Matt Hasselbeck was filling in for Andrew Luck that season he got injured with the Colts here. That man looked broken on the Falcons sideline.
Well, I didn't expect Matt Hasselbeck to catch a stray at the top of our show, but yeah, I mean, it was it was bad for Matt Ryan, man. And the offense for the Atlanta Falcons just kept shooting themselves in the foot all night long. I mean, if you want to look at that possession that they had in the second quarter, they've got the ball on their 15-yard line, 3rd and 1, and for whatever reason, Arthur Smith makes the decision that he wants to drop back to pass, and Kyle Van Noy does a great job of closing on the quarterback, doesn't bite on the pump fake, ends up getting the sack to force the Falcons to settle for a 45-yard field goal. And then on that field goal attempt, you had an offensive tackle, Jason Spriggs, off the line of scrimmage, which led to an illegal formation to push him back 5 yards and take 3 points off the board. Young-Wei Koo misses the field goal, and all of a sudden you're talking about them not having the opportunity to put points up when that was their deepest penetration in the first half of that game. And so it was a tough night for the Atlanta Falcons. They had an opportunity in the second half to actually put some points on the board. 3rd and 1, they got stopped. 4th and 1, decided to go for it again with the run play in the middle, got stopped again, turnover on downs, and then all the turnovers that they had to ensue with the interceptions. It was just a bad night for the Atlanta Falcons offense, but I think we have to attribute that to just how good this New England Patriots defense is, and I'm going to keep saying it until folks in the back start paying attention, but there are a lot of parallels to this defense and the Patriots defense from 2001 when they won the chip. Remember, that team started out through the first 10 games, they were 5-5, and that loss to the greatest show on turf ended up catapulting them, and they didn't lose a single game from that point on. Now, I'm not saying that the Patriots are going to run the table for the rest of the regular season, but I wouldn't necessarily be surprised by it if they do.
At this point, Chris, because, I mean, watching the game last night, seeing 25-0, and they deserve credit. It's a shutout in the National Football League. Those guys are paid to. All of those things absolutely hold true in this. But we know this Falcons team ain't much any good. We know that much through this course of the season here. We're trying to figure out the rest. We know they aren't any good. And this Patriots team, it was 13-0 through the midway point in the fourth quarter. Like, I finally turned it off after one of those interceptions, and I think Josh Rosen came in and threw a pick six. Like, I didn't need that stuff. I value my sanity a little bit too much for that. But I was surprised at how close this game was for so long, knowing, yes, what the Patriots defense was certainly doing to the Falcons on offense. But that Patriots offense, we've talked about Mac Jones and how he has looked the part in what they've asked him to do, but that's still not an offense you can count on to win you games right now.
No, you can't, especially with how bad the offense was in pass protection, Gojo. I mean, they were making a point on the broadcast, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, about how that Atlanta Falcons offense was so porous and they were allowing so much pressure on Matt Ryan. Would you believe me if I told you that the Falcons offensive line had a better pass block win rate than the New England Patriots offensive line last night?
I wouldn't on first look, but Chris, you're right. There's no doubt we saw some of that last night, and we saw the limitations of Mac Jones. Like, part of what we talked about him in the draft profile coming out was he's not going to get you out of trouble. And so when the Falcons sent missiles, especially from the second level of that defense here, Mac Jones had to do the old Peyton Manning turtle and just hit the deck.
Yeah, there was one, though, that was impressive from Matt when Daron Harmon was coming from Jermaine Dupri's house, and he just hit the blitz at the line of scrimmage full speed, and he ends up converting to Jacoby Myers in a short yardage situation, ends up moving the chains. Now, a couple of plays later, he ends up throwing a pick. But when Mac Jones is shown the ability to stand in the pocket, not afraid of being able to take the hit and make the throw. I think that's something that bodes well for the young guy as he moves forward. And again, I think there is a little bit of a learning curve in terms of him discovering what his limitations are. And you saw yesterday him trying to fit a ball into double coverage when he shouldn't have. He should have just taken the wheel route to N'Keal Harry rather than forcing the ball down the seam to the tight end. It ends up being a pick by A.J. Terrell. But I think that's just a part of the maturation process for a young quarterback. Good thing for him, you're playing against an inferior opponent, and you've got one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in all of football. And I'll say this, that secondary, I don't think it's debatable, Mike. I really don't. That is the best secondary in all of football, and those dudes showed it last night. J.C. Jackson, Devin McCourty, Adrian Phillips, Kyle Duggar. I think he's a young star in the making, second-year player out of Lenoir Ryan, and Jalen Mills. Bill Belichick throwing that three-safety package out there, that's going to be hell for teams to figure out how they want to deal with that, because they've shown that they can create a lot of different looks, a lot of different coverages. They can play a lot of different concepts and have success. The one thing that surprised me about last night's game with that secondary, they're usually a man coverage outfit, Gojo. I mean, they play the third most cover one of any team in the National Football League, somewhere around 46%. And yet last night, they played zone 81% of the snaps. 81%. Think about that. In a short week on the road, they all of a sudden changed up, and they decided, you know what, for this matchup, it behooves us to go ahead and play zone coverage, because we see some things that we can take advantage of. We can get, what is it, seven sets of eyeballs on the quarterback because they only blitz four times throughout the entire game. We can get seven sets of eyeballs on the quarterback, and there are opportunities for us to be able to take advantage of some tips, some overthrows, some mistakes. And that's exactly what they did. So that's impressive to see that secondary be able to go from zone to man and be game plan specific. I think that's something that's going to bode well for them with this upcoming stretch of games that they got with the Tennessee Titans, with the Buffalo Bills, the Colts, and then the Bills again. So that's something to keep an eye on as we move down the stretch, how good this New England Patriots secondary is, because I think that's the strength of this team.
How good are they? 12 interceptions during this five-game win streak. That's the most picks by any team in a five-game span of a season since the Patriots in 2019. They had 13 in a five-game span. This is also the third time since 2000 that Bill Belichick has done that, 03, 2019, and this year. And that's the place that this kind of all goes back to, Chris, because whatever this Patriots season ends up becoming, and we can talk about coming up here in a couple of minutes, the AFC East outlook here, what's going on this weekend, and what's coming up in this next stretch of games, because I think it's important when we look at the teams we're talking about near the top of the AFC now. But the one thing that's become abundantly clear is whoever was trying to start those conversations, and this isn't some straw man thing. We had legitimate people coming out and talking about Tom Brady and the way he'd gone about winning since he left New England and what that says about Bill Belichick. That, you want to talk about premature. Good God Almighty.
Yeah, no question about it, right? Like, people were saying that it was more Tom Brady than Bill Belichick in terms of who's responsible for the overall success in the dynasty that was the last 20 years up in Foxborough. But, I mean, with Belichick retooling this thing on the fly, I mean, moving on from what a lot of people would say is the greatest quarterback of all time and then finding a way two seasons later to get this group to the playoffs, to have a chance to contend for a division title, like, yeah, maybe Bill Belichick had a little more to do with it than folks wanted to give him credit for last year. So, yeah, you're right. This isn't some straw man that we're making up. Like, that was actually credible people whose opinions we respect, people that work for the company, that were saying that, yeah, it was mostly Tom Brady and Bill Belichick was a passenger. And I think this season disproves that, especially when you see the evolution of this team and the development of a young quarterback. Like, they have a clear plan on how they wanted to bring Mac Jones along. And we talk about the constraints that Josh McDaniels puts on the offense, the guardrails that they set up so the kid doesn't get himself in trouble, so he doesn't lose the game. But then they had the awareness to understand the pieces that they needed on both sides of the ball in free agency and the draft, and they addressed those things, and now you're starting to see all of that stuff take shape, and this is becoming a team that nobody wants to face as we move down the stretch.
Nope, it is the same nightmare that people have been living for 20 seasons now, it feels like, in the NFL. holy moly, look out for that one. We want to hear from you, by the way. Be a part of Canny and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Hit us up, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's heating up, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Coming up in about 30 seconds, let's circle the wagons and figure out which nightmare scenario we may be heading towards after this weekend. We will get to all of that after this word from AT&T. Now, if there are friends and family members you haven't talked to in a while, don't worry. It's never too late to reconnect. To help, AT&T is offering deals on the latest smartphones. It's not complicated. Everyone deserves something new. So AT&T is giving new and existing customers their best deals on every smartphone, even the latest ones. Restrictions and exceptions may apply. Visit att.com for details. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And Chris, we talk so much about the Patriots, but their resurgence, what we've seen kind of in the middle of this season, Patriots fans are well aware, we hear from Bill Belichick all the time, the importance of winning the middle eight, those 4 minutes going into halftime and 4 minutes coming out of halftime. We're kind of coming out of halftime right now in this NFL season, right? And as we look around and watch that Patriot rise and start to think about teams that are really going to need to go out and get this thing done this weekend, this circles the wagons on the Buffalo Bills in a pretty interesting way, does it not?
Oh, absolutely does. It keeps a lot of pressure on them because they only have a half-game lead over the Patriots in the division. So this is one of those games that they can't afford to slip, but they're going to be going up against a Colts team that's returning to the scene of the crime, which was last year's wild card game. And Frank Reich made no bones about it this week in speaking on it. But he said he felt the way about letting that one get away because there was a sequence and goal to go at the end of the first half in that wild card game that if Philip Rivers and Michael Pittman could connect on one of a couple of plays, you could be talking about a different outcome and not the Buffalo Bills, but the Indianapolis Colts going on a deep playoff run. So in a gotta-have-it situation for both teams, like this is going to be a really intriguing matchup. But, yeah, the Bills don't have any margin for error, especially with the way that New England is playing now. And if I had to pick between the two teams and which one I trusted the most, right now I got to say I got to give New England the edge over the Buffalo Bills.
It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And that's where this gets interesting to me, Chris, because you and I were both sitting around doing some schedule checking at this point, and it's fair to look at the Patriots schedule and say, all right, you lost to the good teams, and outside of maybe the Browns, you've beat up on the bad teams here. You've made them look how they're supposed to in these spots. The Bills situation isn't much better, it seems like. And so, it's not to say...
You're being kind right now, Gojo.
Yeah,
You're being kind right now.
That's a fair point, but...
You're being very kind.
It is such completely different styles for these teams, Chris, because the one thing I think the Bills have kind of gotten a pass on is, well, everyone talked about, oh, wow, what's wrong with the Kansas City Chiefs here as Patrick Mahomes is second in the NFL in passing touchdowns, and as they still, for a large portion of the beginning of the season, put up strong offensive numbers, people have done that same big play style defense to the Bills, and we just don't feel like addressing it.
No, you're right. I mean, it's essentially playing shell coverages and forcing Josh Allen to try to be more patient than he wants to be, and while I will admit that the Bills have more of a running game than the Kansas City Chiefs, that's still a low bar to clear. Like, they can't consistently run it against any opponent based on what the front and the coverage of the defense would dictate. And so that's got to be a serious question for them moving forward. And we said it after that loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're overly reliant on Josh Allen just making things happen. And at some point, when your best player has an off game, I don't know that there's a lot that the Bills can fall back on an offensive standpoint, to give them a shot to be able to win football games. And then when we look at what their defense has done this year, you tell me, are you impressed with who their defense has been able to be? Like, I mean, they've got some gaudy statistics, but when you run down the schedule, it ain't awfully impressive. The six wins that the Buffalo Bills boast are against opponents that have a combined record of 18-39. So, I mean, just go back and take a look at the Buffalo Bills schedule. There's still a lot of show and prove that they've got going on, too. And that's why I think in this matchup this weekend with the Colts, we're going to learn a lot about both of these teams because it feels like these are the best opponents that both of those teams would have faced.
Yeah, I think it's not even close right now. The Bills, 12th in defensive efficiency here. So when we talk about all of these things going forward here, we're going to hit the meat grinder for the next 4 weeks. The Patriots, the same way, they've got four really big ones coming up here. Mm-hmm. Chris, for Buffalo, I mean, looking at the straight slate we've got this weekend, obviously, if you're the Cleveland Browns, you cannot lose to the Detroit Lions. The same would go for the Tennessee Titans at Houston. Like, you can't go to the bottom of the barrel and come out with an L here. But is there a team that needs this more than Buffalo this weekend with Indianapolis coming to town?
I would probably say the Colts got to have this one more, man. I know it sounds strange because we're talking about this same matchup with the Bills, but the Colts got to have this one. I mean, they were in the wild card last year with a quarterback that was a year away from retirement in Phillip Rivers. And when you look at his QBR numbers last year, he was very pedestrian, middle of the pack. I want to say he was 17th or 18th. So they decided they wanted to make the decision to upgrade at the quarterback spot and send a bevy of picks, which, and one of which could end up being a first rounder, to the Philadelphia Eagles in order to get Carson Wentz, a quarterback that Frank Reich had a good working relationship with. If that team, based on what they have available to them, the supporting cast, were to find themselves on the outside looking into the playoffs, that would be an epic failure. Maybe the most disappointing season of any team in all of football. Because just think about it, Gojo. How many teams in the National Football League can say that they've got four all-pro players? I mean, that's essentially what the Indianapolis Colts are going to have this year. You got Jonathan Taylor, who's leading the league in yards from scrimmage. You got Quentin Nelson, who's a perennial All-Pro. DeForest Buckner, perennial All-Pro. Darius Leonard, perennial All-Pro. If Carson Wentz and Frank Reich can't find a way to get this group back to the postseason, I mean, because we're just assuming that they're not going to win the division, right? Tennessee is just too far out in front. And when you look at the Titans' schedule remaining, like, they've got some gimmies that are on there. I mean, they've got a couple of dates with the Houston Texans, the Jacksonville Jaguars, Miami Dolphins. Like, Tennessee is going to win the AFC South. But if the Indianapolis Colts can't grab hold of one of those wild cards and get into the postseason, then they're going to have some problems. And when you look at their schedule, this is one of those situations that they it's not must win, but it's can't lose going up to Orchard Park.
Yeah, we talk about that a fair amount around here, but it's true. And Chris, I struggle so much with the AFC, especially that meaty, fleshy middle part, for that reason, because we do have a bit of a longer season, because third place and 12th place are separated by like a game, maybe two tops. And so it's hard to feel like anyone's truly out of it, especially with the extended playoff format. But with a lot of these teams, it's at some point we have to see you be consistent at something. And maybe going all the way back to the Patriots, that's why we tend to buy into them so much, right? Because they've at least been consistent at something, even if that something, especially offensively, isn't the sexiest thing in the world.
Well, yeah, their defense is top five in points and yards. So that's the one thing that you can always hang your hat on, and that's something that's always going to play well once you get in the playoffs. They can get to the quarterback rushing just four guys. We've seen they've got a lot of different linebackers and safeties that gives Bill Belichick and Steve Belichick a tremendous amount of flexibility in the different packages that they can run with their sub looks. Like, I just feel like they are multiple in every sense of the word when it comes to what they do on the defensive side of the ball. It is one of the most dominant units in all of football. I know we talk a lot about the Dallas Cowboys and how that offense is the most dominant unit in all of football. That Patriots defense ain't far behind from that Dallas Cowboys offense in terms of level of dominance and their ability to put their thumbprint on the game. So I'm sitting there looking at it, and again, I just feel like there are a lot of parallels between this team and what we saw from the New England Patriots in 2001. I'm not predicting that they're going to go on a Super Bowl run, but in terms of how they win football games, in terms of how that defense can slow opposing offenses down and help to shorten the game, combined with the offense being complementary and running the football, that's a formula that can win a lot of games in this league. And the one thing that we can say about Belichick teams, they don't lose the game. They don't lose the game. And that's something that was said in the Man in the Arena podcast. Tom Brady spoke on it. He said, Belichick said, we got to stop from losing the game before we can go win the game. It seems like this team plays with that kind of mentality. And that's going to bode well for them as we move into December football and on into the playoffs.
That is Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. At Chris Caney 99 and at Mike Golic Jr. is where you can hit us on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Coming up next, though, I think there were three quarterbacks that came into this NFL season with more to lose than almost anybody else in the league. And halfway through the year, I think we've got one guy left standing in that group. We'll tell you who that was next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support veterans with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program. Now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles, helping veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. You hear the Adele there. She just dropped her new album, 30. I can already make sure that Chris Canty has been listening to that all morning. I have no doubt.
So I haven't gotten to it this morning. It's already downloaded, so that will be weekend listening. And wifey and I are hosting Friendsgiving on Saturday, so maybe we'll get a little bit of Adele mixed in there. Of course, we got to have some oldies but goodies. I told you she bought me the vinyl record player for my birthday.
There we go.
So she went out and got some classic records. So we got the AT Aliens album. She went and got, I think today she went and picked up the Chronic album. Classic.
Yeah, wow. Yes.
Absolutely. And then she got Michael Jackson's Off the Wall. So all of those will be in heavy rotation over the course of this weekend.
I was going to say, you throw the Chronic on there, that turkey's got no shot.
Right? You already know.
Now, Chris, I do have to ask here. You guys are hosting Friendsgiving then. So are you in pole position now where you got to carve the turkey now?
I am in that spot where I do have to carve the turkey. Me and the bird get along, though, because this ain't the first time that I've actually had to do it. Now, I think this is going to be the first time where I'm actually cutting up a big turkey, because I usually fry that bird on Thanksgiving.
Ooh.
I'm a big fan of the deep fried turkey. I feel like if you have the opportunity to do it and choose not to, you're just doing it wrong. But we don't have that opportunity this year. We're in transition. So in the apartment, it's going to be the oven baked turkey. So I will be trying to figure out the learning curve that comes along with slicing that buddy up. But we're going to get her done, Mike. I make no doubt about it. We'll get her done.
Top to bottom, that setup sounds elite. So if you're doing Thanksgiving next week, make sure you're doing it at a Chris Canty level right now, because this is all pro Thanksgiving stuff that you guys are getting dished out right here. Now, in Thanksgiving territory, Chris Canty has got you covered here. Chris, I want to head to three quarterbacks specifically in the NFL that we came into this year saying they've got an opportunity to show us what they can be going into next season. I think when you look around at the league, it was going to be Jared Goff in Detroit coming over from Los Angeles and the Rams here. New staff there. They get his contract, and he gets a year to show them if he's the guy. That has been a failing grade so far. Do we agree?
Agreed.
So that one's pretty easy to call here.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold was the next quarterback. Comes over to the Carolina Panthers with Matt Rhule, Joe Brady and company after that failed tenure with the Jets, where Adam Gase gets a lion's share of the grade. Cam Newton has been named the starter for the Carolina Panthers, so I guess we can go ahead and call that one a failure, correct?
Yeah, we can call that a massive failure, because the Panthers are on the hook for his fifth-year option, which is, I think, $19 million in 2022,
ooh,
Mike. And I'm not sure that Sam Darnold starts another game for the Carolina Panthers. I know it sounds hot take-ish, but seriously, when you sit back and think about David Tepper and his quest to find a franchise quarterback, I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that Sam Darnold could be the most expensive backup in the National Football League next season.
Whew, that hurts to even hear out loud. So we've got two out of the three that have failed. The last guy that I thought was in this camp, and at Mike Golic Jr., at Chris Canty 99, if you think I'm missing someone, Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. And Chris, don't look now. And I know this is one stat, but I looked up, and when I see on TV Dan Orlovsky gushing about somebody, and when I see some of our other NFL analysts pointing to this person, you go back and pop under the hood. In the last 4 weeks, number one in QBR in the NFL is Jalen Hurts in the Philadelphia Eagles, who I thought had a one-year opportunity to make this thing happen. And as of late, Chris, at least seems to be looking closer to someone you could justify starting going forward.
Yeah, last three games for Jalen Hurts, he's got the second-best passer rating in all of football at 102.6, and he leads all quarterbacks in rushing yards. And we know that's a big part of Nick Sirianni's formula on the offensive side of the ball. Jalen Hurts as a threat to run the football, and we know that they're going up against what happens to be the NFL's number one run defense this weekend against the Saints. But remember, Jalen Hurts, when he got his first starts last year against the New Orleans Saints, They tuned them up pretty good in the ground game, rushing the ball for over 200 yards, and Hurts had over 100 yards rushing. So, I mean, this could be a situation where, just from a matchup standpoint, the Philadelphia Eagles offense poses some problems for Dennis Allen and that Saints defense. So I'm intrigued by this matchup, and I think this is going to be one of those games that can give us more data points when it comes to Jalen Hurts and whether or not the Philadelphia Eagles become sold on him being the future at their quarterback position moving forward. Because, Gojo, if they answer that question in the affirmative, they got a lot of draft capital to fill out the supporting cast around Jalen Hurts moving forward. They got potentially three first-round draft picks, and if you've got your quarterback position sold, then you can fix a whole lot of problems with that kind of ammunition. So I think this is a big game for Jalen Hurts and for the Philadelphia Eagles, both in the short term because they're not outside of the wild card picture, but also in the long term in terms of the direction that the organization could be going in and where we think that they would be trending in terms of their trajectory.
Yeah, you mentioned those three first-round picks can look like support, or it can look like a ripcord that they're ready to pull on here and create an interesting situation for the current quarterback. But here was Jalen Hurts, the Eagles' current starter, talking about getting the ability to grow over time.
I think with the years of time, I've just grown, been able to build better relationships with my team, learn the city, learn everybody around here throughout the different changes we've had. We've had a lot happen since my first start. I think I've just overall grown. I've had the approach of just getting better every day, putting the daily deposits in, just trying to grow as a player, grow as a leader, grow as a man.
Ken Engelhardt Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Chris, he's at least made it hard on them, right? Because this is what we talk about all the time. Where you land matters. Nick Sirianni has made a lot of mistakes as a first-year coach. There were all these cries from fans in Philadelphia, and we will talk to one of them, Kevin Negandhi, from the 6 o'clock Sports Center, about this in a little bit here. But we went through this with their running back situation, with them not feeling like Miles Sanders was getting enough carries in that backfield. And now you look at the way they've done this. I said at the beginning of the year, Chris, it felt Mac Jones-esque, the game plan, right? Because you're not seeing a lot of marquee passing yard numbers from Jalen Hurts in this, but you're seeing, for the last five games, double-digit rushing attempts for a guy who is that potent. You look at his stat line, Chris, in a lot of ways, I just pulled it up on here because I was curious and I wanted to see a couple of different things here. The only quarterback that's hit more in the NFL is Lamar Jackson. So their stat lines end up right next to each other. QB contact percentage, these guys are at the top of the league in large part because they're both marquee rushers. But then you look at the rest of the stats. Adjusted completion percentage, Lamar Jackson 70%, Jalen Hurts 69%.
Mm.
Lamar Jackson, 14 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Jalen Hurts, 13 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. 7.9 yards per attempt, so a little higher for Lamar Jackson than Jalen Hurts is 7.2. But completion percentage, 64% to 62%. You go on and on down the list, and you keep looking and going, all right, the picture doesn't look that different statistically. Now, we know he does not impact the game the same way as Lamar Jackson.
Sure.
But, Chris, that's not the charge or the expectation for him. The charge is to go out there and give the team a chance to win, and so far he has done that in the last 4 weeks.
No question about it. And in the last 3 weeks, they've been rushing the ball for over 200 yards a game. So I think Nick Sirianni and that Eagles offense has figured out exactly what their game plan needs to be in order for Jalen Hurts and the offense to have the kind of success that they're looking for. Again, this Saints defense is going to pose a different challenge, but I don't know how phased Jalen Hurts is going to be because he had success against them last year. And I always say this, Mike, confidence comes from demonstrated performance. He's shown that he's able to go out there and take advantage of some of the schemes, some of the concepts that Dennis Allen's defense tries to run. So this is an intriguing matchup. I mean, the last 3 weeks, there's no question about where the arrow is pointed for Jalen Hurts. I mean, even going back to that loss against the Chargers that they got sandwiched in between two wins, I mean, it took a big boy drive by Justin Herbert and a hell of a run by Austin Eckler to put that game on ice. The Eagles were right there up until the end of it, and I would look at the Chargers as a quality opponent, a quality win. So I'm still waiting for that on Jalen Hurts' resume as well as this Eagles team before I can buy into him being the long-term answer at the quarterback spot. There's still a lot of show and prove, and I don't know how many more opportunities that we're going to get for Jalen Hurts in order to do that against quality competition.
And remember, this quality competition was the place that Jalen Hurts got the upset win last year against the New Orleans Saints in 2020. Hurts went 17 for 30 for $167 and a touchdown through the air and had 18 rushing attempts for 106 yards on the ground against a Saints team that was not ready for what they got with that young quarterback. So we'll keep an eye on that going forward because the job is to make it hard on him, and so far he's done just that. Coming up next, though, no one making it harder on themselves with the NFL. Why they double down on the worst take in sports next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We also want to hear from you in the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, because, Chris, we talked about the Adele album that just came out today. 30 is a breakup album. Adele recently went through a divorce, came out on the other side. She seems to be doing great. Her and Rich Paul seem very happy. And she's also rich and just put out another album that's going to make her even more rich. Like, things are going well.
Yeah, she absolutely won the divorce. No question about it.
Yeah, she won in the breakup here. And so we were looking around the NFL, looking around at sports, and we'll get to some examples in the National Football League. But 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who in sports has won their breakup over the course of this year so far? We'll get to that in a little bit here, Chris. We've got news. Cam Newton announced the starter for the Carolina Panthers this week. Shows up at the press conference today with the hat and the press pass and his hat there. Apparently they're encouraging Carolina fans to also rock the hats in the stands. So it is getting right back on track in Carolina for the way he left it off.
No question about it. And I know the fans down there got to love the fact that Cam came back home. The opportunity presented itself with Sam Darnold being knocked out for the next couple of months. So it just seemed like it made sense from a fit standpoint. And then Cam stepping in and having a success in limited amount of snaps on the road, and a huge win for the Panthers, because let's face it, they needed that to stay in the wild card mix in the NFC. Like, that just continues to add to the excitement about having Cam come back to Carolina. So it'll be a pumped up atmosphere this weekend, no doubt about it. Like, fans being able to be back in the stadium. I know Cam is doing the thing with the tickets with the organization, so it'll be a fun, rocking atmosphere. And to be honest with you, I think that this move, this gamble that Matt Rhule made in falling back on Cam Newton could end up paying off the way that they wanted to, with this Panthers team being able to take control of their own destiny with that last wild card in the conference.
All of that on the line, no doubt, for the Carolina Panthers. But Cam Newton also is kind of at the center of something that has come back up again, because we all saw Cam Newton's first trip to the end zone, the I'm back. He's wearing it on a shirt. The NFL's clipping it and throwing it out in a soundbite that they put out from one of the league Twitter handles. We think, oh, that's great.
Yep.
Cam is the poster child for showing emotion, for celebrating. In the same week, the NFL sends out a memo re-emphasizing their commitment to the taunting penalty. The senior VP of officiating, Walt Anderson, said, quote, appropriate celebration, enthusiasm, and sharing great moments with our teammates and fans is encouraged. The emphasis by the NFL to discourage acts of taunting or disrespect when you direct actions towards an opponent or his bench will continue. Officials are instructed to call fouls on actions that demonstrate disrespect. And I thought ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark spoke really well about this on NFL Live earlier this month about what the league's taunting rules mean to him.
I think you can't make this call subjective. If there's going to be certain rules or certain things that are officiated in this, they need to be definitive. I need to know that I can't stare at people. I need to know that I can't flex my muscles. I need to know that what I've worked my entire life to do, the thing that I've stayed up from 5 in the morning till midnight every single night, the thing that I've gotten therapy and needles stuck from my neck to my ankles, the reason I've been in cold tubs and hot tubs every single morning, and the reason I've ran through film 80 million times was so I can make that one play.
Mm. One play.
And you mean to tell me on that one play, I got to calm all that down that went into this because somebody who can't do what I do, who ain't never done what I done, and don't know what this feeling is like, gets offended by it? And I wish I freaking would.
Hey, Chris, that's a cosign retweet from everyone here.
No question about it, man. And Ryan did a great job of being able to express the emotions that players go through in the game. Like, it's a game that has to be played with emotion. The nature of it, you have to understand that in the heat of competition, you're going to allow those emotions to come out. And what we saw from Cassius Marshall on Monday Night Football did not rise to the level where I felt like the referees, Tony Corrente in particular, needed to throw a flag. So I'm with Ryan Clark on everything he said.
It's a ridiculous rule that the NFL seems content to double down on. Stick with us. We'll be back in a sec here on ESPN Radio.